All right, you're back in the DFSR. You don't know how lucky you are, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Friday, June 24th. I'm here with Nick Rodriguez, who's pulling a Mariano Rivera out of the bullpen for us right now. He wasn't scheduled to be on today, but Chris Durrell had some family stuff going on early this morning, so Nick was, you know, I signaled to the bullpen. Nick was like, I'm on it. Nick, how's it going today?
It's going good. Happy to be on once again.
Yeah, same. And we'll get into some of the sick predictions you've been making lately. But before we get started, if this is your first time with us, we're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. And we're here to help you build lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. You go over to the site, check out all the free content we have there, going up every single day. Right now, we're real heavy, obviously, into baseball season, but we cover just about every DFS sport there is. While you're there, you go and grab a free 3-day trial to the projection system powered by Lineup Labs, which helps you calculate some optimal lineups. You go in, you hit calculate, spits out a bunch of options. You want to exclude a player, lock a player, stack some teams, really just about every filter you could want to build lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. You're all set for free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Nick, before we get started, Nick's been writing this long ball article for us where he said, I want to write up a couple guys that I think are going to go yard in a given day. He writes up two or three guys. Little do we know that when he started doing this, he'd have this crystal ball like accuracy where Nick, how many days in a row have one of your like two or three guys hit a home run?
I'm currently on a 5-homer game.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like that's a ridiculous run. Again, and he's not writing up like 17 guys or like it's not a table of 17 guys and we can just say, oh, you know, go down to the bottom of the list and pick one. He's picking 2 to 3 guys a day, and to have 5 straight days of that is pretty remarkable. I mean, it's grounded in analytics, so it's not just you don't just have like a player dartboard, right? Like you're throwing darts at.
No, it's a lot of splits, platoon, advantages. It's everything factored into it.
Yeah, it's crazy. So it was Kemp last night, goes yard against, was it against Lamb? Was it at that point?
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, so but the matchup lined up for him. Well, one other feature I wanted to just point out for the site. If you head over to the site, we just put up a new chat room that's loading on the front page. And we're testing it out because we have so much user buy-in. You know, our comment section, we're just blowing up every day. And we wanted to get people more real-time conversation going. And so we started the chat room yesterday. It's been a wild success so far. There's something like 150 people in it right now as I speak. And this is within, you know, the first 12 hours. So head over there if you want to join some of the baseball conversation. All right, we got a full day, Friday evening slate of games with, you know, I think some clear-cut things going on and maybe some other around-the-margins kind of stuff that we can discuss. So let's get – oh, actually, one more thing. I wanted to say, Nick, yesterday, do you remember we were talking about – I don't know if you remember this, but I was like, making the case about, like, I thought the A's run line looked weird against Linscomb. Do you remember this?
Yes.
So I actually put in – let's do the old Bill Simmons if betting was legal kind of thing. I actually did something where I put in – for A's over 3.5 yesterday, and they had that cleared by the fourth inning, so I was feeling pretty good about that. Anyway, that's just a little not so humble brag about like little touting my own wagering abilities. Anyway, so now that I've gotten all my brags out of your brags out of the way, my brags out of the way, we can get started. All right, pitcher today. We have a game going in Coors, which always makes pitching, you know, some maybe a little tighter because the bats, maybe we want to get some run expectation in on the bats. Pitcher today, do you see a clear favorite, or are you kind of going to mix it around to get some, you know, high upside bats in?
For me, the clear favorite is Max Scherzer, and it's not even close. Going up against the Brewers, who lead the league in strikeouts, we know Scherzer's a strikeout machine. His Sierra and FIP are unbelievable this year. And the good thing is, you mentioned there's a game at Coors, which I think will drive his ownership percentages down, because people would rather pay up for Coors bats than Scherzer, which is why I'm loving this slate today.
I love that take. That's okay, so I'm totally with you on the Scherzer piece, but I hadn't actually thought about the ownership percentage piece going in. You know, in our system, the difference between Scherzer's projection and the next highest guy is I think the widest gap I've seen all season. And he's projected for something like 26 DraftKings points from us, somewhere like in the low 40s, mid-40s for FanDuel. The next highest guy on DraftKings for us is like the Salazar-Mats Tanaka range. And at 19 points, that kind of difference is just, to me, unfadeable. Like, I will not, there will be no scenario where I do not have him. There's a lot of double negatives here. No scenario in which I do not have him in lineups. But I love the point about the ownership percentage. What, do you think people just end up talking themselves out of him because of that?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of maybe they'll find somebody cheap that they like a Jake Peavy, and they're able to fit Coors bats, or they're just scared because of recent history paying up for bats and then Coors goes off. But we all know Coors has a tendency to have a 1-0 game. It's rare, but it happens. Mm-hmm. So if it's one of those nights and Scherzer gets 60 FanDuel points, you can see yourself at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's totally worth it to pay up for him. That was a conversation going in the chat room we had going right now. Was, you know, is Scherzer worth it? Where do you pay? To me, even the money line for him helps. The ballpark doesn't help as much because pitching away from home is a little worse for him in Miller Park. But it's totally crystal clear for me. I'm paying him, and I hope that every percentage that I don't see him in there, I do think it's sort of you're getting so much expected value from his matchup that, I mean, we'll watch him just give up like 3 first inning home runs now that we just gushed about him for the first 5 minutes. And he does have it. He has home run issues, right? Whenever you're a pitcher like him, yes, that pounds the strike zone, you will allow home runs. It's just going to happen, but he mitigates it by keeping the walk rate down. And he'll just continue pounding, and yeah, I'm all over it. After him, you know, either on you mentioned we rolled through a couple different guys, but do you like some starting pitcher two value out there? Or if I wanted to get away from Scherzer, maybe in a tournament, who are some other pitchers to kind of glance at?
I mean, the one guy I really loved before I read into it was Steven Matz, going up against the Braves. Matz is a very good pitcher, but reading on him, they're going to be careful. He's been having some injury issues. His pitch count might be limited. So that's probably a guy I'd fade just because of that.
Yeah, the pitch count thing, you know, someone brought up Matt. Excuse me. The pitch count thing with Matt's is a real concern for how many innings he can go because he just can't really have any mistakes. Like a 20-pitch inning for him is just going to be the death of his upside, yes, because he won't go into that 110-pitch range that Scherzer will. You know, Kyle Hendricks is a guy like that as well, who has a good matchup against the Marlins, but his pitch count is always a concern. Someone was asking about him in the chat room today, and I said Hendricks has good peripherals, but he has like an 83 pitch count game in him, and that is just too risky when it comes to his 9,500 price tag on DraftKings. So you kind of said get away from Matt. I say get away from Hendricks. Who can we play then?
I know you mentioned you like Tanaka. I like the matchup as well. I think it presents him with some upside going up against the Twins. But the only problem with him is the park. He's been a much better pitcher on the road than at home. You can't blame him, Yankee Stadium.
Sure.
I guess I'm doubting everybody, so I'm not real confident in a starting pitcher two option. So I'm hoping after this podcast you can set my mind clear.
Well, I'm actually really confident in Tanaka today for a couple reasons. One, he's got a big money line in his favor. I think he opened at minus 200, which I was like, whoa, that's high. But the reason he's worse at home is for the reason you mentioned, is because it's Yankee Stadium and it doesn't take much for a lefty to get the ball out. The good news is the Twins really don't have much in the way of lefty power. So they run Nunez at the top. Maurer, who hits lefty but doesn't have much power to speak of.
Yes.
And Grossman's a switch hitter, although he doesn't really scare me. And then it's like Dozier, Park. They just don't Buxton down at the bottom of the lineup. They just really don't ploof. They just don't have – that lefty power is not there for them. And so when I can really – he's just not going to run down – he's not going to run down like 4 lefty bats in the lineup that can jack one out. Because of that, I actually really – he'll probably end up being, unless there's some massive overcorrection in his money line today, which I just don't see coming, he's going to be probably my starting pitcher too on DraftKings. The strikeouts are down a little bit, but 8,800 for him. Now all of a sudden you're only putting, even with Scherzer's 14K price tag, now you're looking at 2,300 in terms of starting pitcher buy-in for there towards your cap, and that's totally doable. That's just like 2 good, yeah, pitchers. So it's going to be pretty much, I think, Scherzer and Tanaka for me on DraftKings. Anyone else to look at there?
I noticed the system is in love with Jake Peavy as a value play. That always scares me, but he's been pretty good looking at his game log. He's pitched 6 innings his last 2 contests, only allowed one earned run combined, 11 strikeouts. I mean, going up against the Phillies, not the best of offenses. Vegas has him as a pretty heavy favorite, so I think I'll roll the dice and try to get a couple of course bets.
Yeah, I like him too. 6,900, great park. Probably one of the best. If San Francisco isn't the best park for pitchers, it's top 1 or 2.
Yes.
The Phillies don't have anything in the way of scaring me, and especially because the park helps them so much, it mitigates the chance of just running into a really bad inning against them, because it's going to be hard for them to really crush him on the power upside. You put it really well that he's been better of late, which is helpful for him. And 6,900, I can get behind that price. I think he actually ends up being a pretty popular play. 6,900 at that money line is something that you just don't see all the time. And yes, it's Jake Peavy, and yes, he's gotten bombed early in the season.
Yes.
But this is just not the spot that I see him getting shelled. Like the Phillies are bad. So I think between Tanaka and Peavy, you're actually in a pretty good spot. I don't think you need like for instance, Salazar is like 14K. That's insane. Excuse me, 13K on DraftKings. That's an insane price. You're not touching that. You're not touching Aaron Sanchez, I don't think, at 11-4 going in that park.
No.
Price has a bad park and not a great matchup. So I think there's a lot of reasons to get away from the guys underneath Scherzer, and Tanaka and PV just really represent that kind of. I think it's really just going to be those guys. What do you think of Jameson Taillon?
He's not a FanDuel play for me personally with guys like Scherzer. You mentioned you're a big fan of Tanaka. So I would probably use him in a tournament, DraftKings starting pitcher too, going up against LA's offense, who's disappeared this season. I don't know what's going on with Adrian Gonzalez and the other boys, but I'm not a fan of his upside. He's only stroking out 13 hitters in 3 games, but I can see why you're using him from a price standpoint, and the matchup's pretty good, especially pitching at home.
Yeah, someone was asking about him this morning in the chat room, and I said guys like him are always tough to project out because the sample size is small. You know, he's definitely was a prospect at some point, still is a prospect. Park helps him, some money line in his favorite. I'm with you. I kind of have the same take as you. Let's get into the bats today. I think we've covered most of the pitchers that I think are worth looking at. Okay, so when we look at today's offense, stacks, and then we'll get into some individual players as well. Some of the run lines coming in today: Rockies open at 6, Red Sox at 5.3, Orioles at 5.2, Diamondbacks in Coors are actually the 4th highest run line on the day at 5, which I find interesting and maybe somewhat telling about where we want to go with their bats. Right below them, the Reds at 4.9. You know, all of this is subject to change as the day goes on. I suspect some of it will change, but I do think it's worth mentioning that the Diamondbacks against the lefty in Coors are the 4th highest expected run line, and that actually hasn't changed much. So let's start with catcher on the day. I guess we can go 2 ways with this. We mentioned Scherzer as the cash game play, which means we're going to need to save money in the lineup in as many places as possible to fit his salary. So I guess we can go for each position. Maybe we look at a cheaper play and then the more expensive play and sort of round things out that way. The more expensive play will be, maybe more of a tournament because you spent down on pitcher. The cheaper play is so I can get Scherzer in. Who am I looking at catcher today?
I'm going to start with the cheap play. I really like Wilson Contreras going up against Tom Kohler. Yesterday he hit cleanup, but it was a... Who was pitching yesterday for the Marlins?
Chen.
So yeah. It was a lefty. And then previous days, he was batting 5th against a righty. I'll take either spot, especially for a catcher. He's shown some power already this season. Young, good-looking prospect for the Cubs farm system. So I think for $2,800 on DraftKings, I think that's a good price. And he's $2,500 on FanDuel.
Yeah, really, really, really nice prices on him, especially if they're going to bat him around the middle of the order. And they will play him in the field as well. So he's just not – he has a better chance of being in the lineup every day because I think he played first for Rizzo yesterday. I don't think he caught.
Yes.
So the fact that they can rotate him behind the plate and in the field helps his, helps him make sure he's in the lineup. I like that price. He has the power upside. If I want to go maybe a little bit more expensive, what am I looking at?
I think you can go with Wellington Castillo at course. He's not overpriced, 4K, definitely more than I would like paying up for a catcher. But we mentioned course, one of the highest run lines on the night. And you mentioned he's going up against a lefty, Castillo, much better hitter against southpaws. So I like that matchup if you're looking for some D-backs exposure.
Should be hitting fourth in the lineup, I think. Against the lefty. Yeah, I'm with you there. He's like a tick too high for me, I think, at 4,000. I don't mind Russell Martin a bit below him if I'm just looking to get a similar, you know, similar priced guy who people won't be on as much. He gets another good ballpark in U.S. Cellular against Rodon. So yeah, I'm kind of with you. I suspect Castillo ends up becoming sort of the chalky play. It's worth mentioning though that Tyler Anderson is the pitcher for the Rockies today. He's actually been pretty good this season, which I think, yeah, I think that's why the run line started so low. So he had two starts under his belt, which obviously isn't, you know, you don't project out a whole career based on two starts, but he struck 7.5 per nine, walked less than one, and he has a 2.67 xFIP, and one of those games is in Coors, it's worth to mention. So I think that's why that game has started out so low, because he just has shown some ability to get guys out. But I think I'm with you. I think Castillo ends up becoming sort of the chalky play because of the context behind him. All right, let's go on to first base. Let's go, you know, cheap option and expensive option.
For a cheap option, I'm tempted to go Prince Fielder because he's so cheap, but I'm not going to touch it because it's a lefty-lefty matchup.
Yeah, I think I'd be off it for the same reason.
I kind of like Miguel Cabrera. His price has dropped big time going up against Danny Salazar. Salazar's price is huge, real high. Miggy's $3,600 on DraftKings, which I think is very affordable, especially for one of the best pure hitters in the game. So I just like it from a value play standpoint if you want to fade Goldie, who's probably over 5K. And I just think it's more of a price play than a matchup play.
He's too expensive for me. He's $4,600 on FanDuel. But you're right, that $3,600 range for him, even in a tier one matchup against Salazar, does make you sort of think about it, because it just he's a great hitter. I love on FanDuel, I have to say, I love Votto today. I think Votto ends up being in most of my cash games as of right now, just because he's got a great ballpark, great American, plays up to power. He gets a matchup in Ray. Like I said at the beginning, the Reds are only right now projected for 0.1 runs less than the Diamondbacks. And you get Votto at 3,400. That, to me, is just plug and play all day long on him. It doesn't really even matter if he's sitting second or third in the lineup. So I think on FanDuel, like, our system is going to have almost an impossible time getting away from him on FanDuel. I don't think it should. He's a great play. I don't want it to. Taking the expectation on him at 3,400 as opposed to like Goldschmidt at whatever he is, 5,000 or something like that, is a no-brainer for me. All right, let's roll into second base as we're going to start pushing up against the clock a little bit here. What am I looking at here for second base?
Second base, for some reason, I keep starting off with value plays, but there's two of them that I really like. One of them is Devin Travis going up against Carlos Rodon. I love the lefty-righty matchup. Travis kills lefties for a living. He'll probably hit in the two-hole today. And for $3,700 on DraftKings, I'm a big fan of his. And the other guy is Neil Walker going up against Aaron Blair, who walks more batters than he strikes out.
That's a bad sign.
So I think he doesn't have that going in his advantage, and Walker has some serious power for the second base position.
Yeah, and he should be hitting. He's been hitting around the cleanup spot with the Mets a little banged up now. Those are the two guys that are really on my radar. I'd love if Travis is in that second spot, which I think he will be with the lefty-righty matchup today. Both those guys project out near the top of the lineup. I don't love, really, the bats you're getting out of Coors at second base today. What about a guy like Daniel Murphy? He's $3,600 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I love the matchup. Zach Davies, I remember you tweeted out a long time ago, somebody was comparing him to Greg Maddux.
Oh, yeah.
And ever since, he's been pitching amazing. So he's living up to the hype, but Daniel Murphy is just a beast. $4,100, I'll pay for him any day of the week. So, especially at Miller Park, it's a huge ballpark boost. So I don't mind that play at all for a tournament.
Yeah, that Davies thing was one of the I think it was the Milwaukee announcer that day, and it was a day where I had stacked against Davies, and I forget who the team was they were playing.
But the Cardinals.
I'd stacked against Davies that day, like, heavily, and he just pitched the game of his life, and he was just, like, nibbling every corner, and then they started comparing him to Maddux, and I just wanted to puke. Like, I was like, you gotta be kidding me, this guy. The peripherals are okay on him, but I have no problem pitching against him. He lives too much around the edges that doesn't scare me, and a guy like Murphy is such a contact guy that I'm all for it. Let's go on to shortstop. The shortstop plays for me aren't as clear, so I'm actually interested to hear what you think here, because I kind of, when I ran down the list, there wasn't a ton for me to get excited about, but maybe you can talk me out of it.
All right, let's see what I can do. One guy I really like is Troy Tulowitzki, back on picking on the left-hander Rodon. Tulowitzki's come off out of the DL hot, much better hitter against lefties, so I'll take my chances there. And the other guy I like is Carlos Correa. For some reason, he's my favorite shortstop to play. Always affordable. And I don't know. I don't think you need to pay up for any of the Coors guys at shortstop today.
It's kind of site-specific for me. Trevor Story is pretty cheap on FanDuel at only $3,300. So sometimes if you just want a quick and dirty way to look at if you're getting a deal on a site, and I've mentioned this before, is if you just do a price comparison between FanDuel and DraftKings, you know, it's some of it's
huge.
Yeah, some of it's skewed because, like, you need to factor in, like, percentage of, you know, money toward cap. So it's not exactly a simple subtraction thing. But, you know, he's 5,100 on DraftKings and he's 3,300 on FanDuel, which means someone screwed up or the truth is, like, somewhere in the middle. So I'm tempted to say that FanDuel screwed up by making him too low. 3,300, if he's in the fifth spot, which I think he's been hitting more recently, then even against Bradley, that's a pretty easy call for me, I think.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had no idea. I was guessing he's in the high 4,000s.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake. I don't know why he's not corrected as much, but he's projected for the most raw points, and he's a pretty good multiplier. And I think when I ran the first set of optimal lineups on FanDuel, he was in just like every lineup. So although not Tulowitzki comes in the fourth lineup. Tulowitzki at 3,200 or Story at 33. I think I'd easily play Story, especially if Tulo's like batting like in the seventh hole. They've been batting him a little lower, so I think it's really between those two guys. I'm glad you mentioned Tulo on DraftKings because he's a much better deal on DraftKings than Story. Correa, I'm not on as much as you. I think it's pretty much Story and Tulo. That's really where I'm going to be focusing most of my exposure today. All right, getting into third base, let's roll through some of the third basemen and, you know, kind of the same format, cheap and expensive, if you want to roll that way.
I have an actual good question for you.
Oh, good.
Actual good question.
An actual good question, as opposed to what, like, you asked me bad. I don't remember you asking me bad questions, so I'm just going to assume all the questions you have are good. What's the actual good question this time, though?
The actual good question is, who do you prefer paying out for? Nolan Arenado at 5,400 on DraftKings, playing at Coors against Bradley, or Josh Donaldson, 5,500, going up against Southpaw Rodon?
Yeah, this is hard. I think that I would go Arenado on draft. I think I would just go Arenado across the board, really, because they're just expected for more runs. For two reasons. One, we have him a tick better in the system in terms of raw points, even with Donaldson getting that lefty matchup. But I also just think for cash games, Arenado is the more popular play, and I'm fine not bucking the public in situations like that. But on the flip side, if I was looking to, you know, fade that game a little bit in terms of a tournament, Donaldson's a fantastic play. I love when guys like this end up becoming around the same price point because they make for easy swaps. So you have a lineup that has Arenado, but you want to maybe be a little more contrarian. It's easy to just swap in Donaldson. And they're pretty much the same price on FanDuel as well. But I'm just in terms of raw points, I have Arenado for just a tick more. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think Coors has a factor to that. And I think Rodon's actually a solid pitcher. So I'd probably pay up for Arenado in that situation.
The problem with Rodon is he gets brutalized by righties. The platoon splits for him are pretty extreme. He's elite at getting lefties out. but he's well below average at getting righties out, and that could be a problem against the Jays today. They run a lot of righties down the lineup, even though Bautista's out right now. So, I mean, that probably helps him out a little bit. But yeah, Rodon really does have a severe ready bat problem. Those are the expensive guys. If I don't want to pay up or I can't pay up for him, is there a way to get out of this position a little cheaper?
Yes, there's three guys that I like from a cheaper standpoint. I'll just name them. You can tell me which one you like the most. Adrian Beltre against David Price, Maikel Franco against Jake Peavy, and Alex Rodriguez against Tommy Malone.
Yeah, Rodriguez for me, far and away, as the of those three. If I was just sight unseen going to pick those three guys, A-Rod is in the lefty-righty matchup in the better ballpark. Yeah, I think he gets a better matchup than Price against Beltre. He gets a much better ballpark than Franco. And I think A-Rod, without looking it up, he's not an extreme platoon guy, I don't think, for his career.
No, he's not.
Yeah, so, but that doesn't worry me at all either. Yeah, I think I would go A-Rod at 3,400 on FanDuel. I think his DraftKings price has been trending a little lower. Yeah, 3,800 on DraftKings. Both look pretty good to me today. One guy I actually don't mind if he's in the lineup today is Solarte against Reed.
Definitely.
Reed's I think he's somewhat of a prospect, but great ballpark for Solarte. Should be around the middle of the lineup, so I don't mind getting out of him at 2,600 just with some of that power expectation like we talked about yesterday. Great American, I heard someone call it Great American Small Park. I can't remember who said that to me. Someone, I don't know if that's like a real thing or if whoever said that to me had just made it up on the spot. But I don't like the Reds and Padres don't both project for some runs today. All right, let's finish it out with the outfield. I'm going to talk about something that someone brought up in the chat room in a bit. But walk me through a couple of guys in the outfield today. This is usually where I can get away with some cheaper bats, just because there's three positions rather than just one from the others. But walk me through some of the value plays and some of the raw points, guys.
Yes, the first guy I'm looking at, it might surprise you, but it's Cody Ashe going up against Jake Peavy. He's so cheap, and he's been hitting the balls of late. Good power lefty, so he does have some upside. The next guy I'm looking at is Joey Rickard. He should be hitting in a two-hole with Matt Moore pitching, so it'll be interesting to see what Buck Showalter does, but I like that matchup as well. The other guy I'm looking at, which I think is more of an obvious one, is Andrew McCutchen. He's just way too cheap, so I'm going to be all over him today.
Yeah, well, you threw me off because the first two guys were not who I expected you to say. so I was like, quick. I was like frantically typing. I don't know if you can probably hear the clicking in the background of me like frantically typing in, especially Ashe. Ashe's not a guy that I'm really going to concern myself too much with today. The Baltimore guys do project for some runs on this slate, which is always good. They have the third highest run expectation going in, and Rickard should be in the two hole, like you said. And Moore is so inconsistent that I have no problem getting in. And again, we're focused on cheap here, so that's where we're trying to fit in some bats. After those three guys, is there anyone else like on the expensive side? Well, okay, rewind. I'm totally with you on McCutchen being too cheap. He is. They're just begging you to play him on DraftKings, basically at 3,000. Even if he was like 75% of himself, which he might be, because if there's like some kind of injury going on, 75% of McCutchen at 3,000 is, well, 75% is probably too low, but some downgrade because of if he was injured is just still too low against a guy like Tepish, even in a bad hitter's park. I'm all with you. If the Pirates are willing to put him in the lineup at 3,000 on DraftKings, I'm also willing to put him in the lineup. Who on the more expensive side of things can we get excited about here? Because I think there's a couple ways to save, but there's a couple places to spend also.
Yeah, if you're looking to spend, the two more of the obvious plays, I think, are Carlos Gonzalez going up against Bradley and his teammate, Charlie Blackmon. Lefty-righty matchup. We all know what Gorse does. So I think if you're looking to spend, those are the two top guys to spend your money on.
Yeah, Gonzalez only 4,100 on FanDuel. I think he ends up being a chalk play pretty much across the board today, and that's correct. That price is too low. Who's the other guy? Oh, Blackmon. Yeah, I like both of those guys. What do you think about? Someone was asking today about Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper's 4,000 on FanDuel. What do you think about Harper today?
I mean, going up against Greg Maddux is never easy, but it's Bryce Harper as well. So I think this is going to be one of the matchups for the ages. But on a serious note, I think he's always in play. It's Bryce Harper. He gets a huge boost in ballparks. So I wouldn't be surprised if he has himself a day.
So I was looking more into Harper because some people were, there was a, you know, a discussion or a disagreement with him in the chat room today about someone asking about him and then me saying I loved him and then someone saying I was an idiot, basically. there was a, no, they didn't say that. They didn't say that uncordially. But so I was looking a little bit more into Harper, and there are reasons for optimism and then pessimism on him. So let me start by saying that our system's going to have a tough time getting away from his $4,000 price tag in this ballpark against Davies. But the case for optimism on him is this season he's walking more than he's striking out. He's walking 20% of the time as opposed to like 17% of the time in K's. So that's a fantastic – very few guys in the majors do that. So that's if anybody else. I'm not even sure. But maybe Rizzo. There's only a few guys that do it. So that part you love. He's – running really bad on BABIP this season at 250. So that's like 100 points lower than his career numbers, though some of that could be hitting into the shift. So BABIP is not the number it once used to be in terms of like judging by luck. But the reason that I'm worried about him is the batted ball profile is actually a little concerning. The ground balls are up and the hard contact rate is down. Could be people pitching around him or it could be an injury. So it's like hard to tell with those things. So I'm on both sides of the fence on Harper. If you, which would you tend to like look more at? Would you tend to look more at like the walk rate, or would you tend to look more at the batted ball profile?
I would look at the walk rate. He's only striking out 17% of the time. It's more, in my opinion, that they're not pitching to him, not getting many pitches to hit. And this past series, if you're looking at those numbers, facing a lot of lefties. So I'm not too concerned with Harper. I think he just needs some more protection in the lineup, and they'll put your how should I say this? This ballpark is going to play a huge factor in his numbers this weekend, I think. So there's no room for concern for me.
He's coming off a West Coast road trip that is never going to help you in the power department. So he played in San Diego, played in LA. He was home for a couple games. He really hasn't had a good ballpark to hit in since Cincinnati way back at the beginning of the month, which, you know, coincides with about when the power ran out. So I don't know. I'm in between on it. I'm tempted to be like you and just look at the walk rate and say that he's getting a little bit unlucky, but I'm willing to admit also that there's room for concern. All right, let me just do real quick before we get out of here a couple of this guy or that guy. All right, on FanDuel, Andrew McCutchen at 3,400, Peter O'Brien at 3,100.
I'll take the Peter O'Brien on this one. You're most likely going to stack Coors guys, and Peter O'Brien, tremendous power, and you save $300. That can be the difference between a guy like Blackman and somebody else, so I'll take Peter O'Brien.
All right, another one on DraftKings. Do you like Trout against Surkamp at 4,900, or would you pay an extra 400 for Blackman at 53?
I would go with Trout in tournaments. I mean, it's Mike Trout, first of all. Lefty-righty matchup. He's got good splits against lefties, and we know the upside he has even when he's not playing at Coors. So I'll take Trout on this one.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's one's a closer one for me. I probably would skew towards just the overall run line in terms of Blackman, but he does cost a little bit more. Trout's still a good deal. Trout at 4,900 is... You know, the thing that screws him up is the rest of his dumb team stinks.
Yes.
Like the Angels have just really just done such a piss poor job of putting anybody that with any talent around him. So that's really what kills him. But that one's a little closer for me. All right, Nick, are you ready for a long ball call right now or not? I don't want to put you on the spot because this thing's been so money. Do you have a long ball call or should we just check in later on the article?
We got to check in later in the article. I got to turn on the crystal ball. It's got to load. It takes a couple hours. So I'll be back with it later.
Yeah, I like not just – that makes me feel better that you're not just willing to throw out a name here. It means there's a process. And like I said, it's not the aforementioned dartboard. Just going yes. – All right, man, this has been good. Thanks for jumping on and kind of saving the day here rather than having people listen to me just drone on and on and on, which I kind of do anyway even with you here. But but it's nice to just have another voice thrown in. Make sure to check out Nick's long ball article later. And right now up on the site, you get all the free content you can handle with picks, stacks, pitchers, and grab a free 3-day trial of the projection system powered by Lineup Lab that helps you calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free 3-day trial, $29.95 a month after that. Nick, it's going to be a pretty fun day of baseball, man. I'm probably going to have to ignore the family for most of the night starting at 7, starting at 7 o'clock. Anything else for you, or are we good to go?
No, I'm with you there. It's going to be a fun night with baseball. It's been a fun week joining you on the podcast. Feels like I've been here these 5 days. I'm not 100% sure, but it's been fun.
Yeah, man, it's been a good time. All right, everyone, we'll check you out Monday, and good luck tonight with all your lineups.